Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories. Oh, what joy.
As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy.
My friends at the old country church. Oft my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious
well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to talk with you, to praise your holy name, to bring you praise, honor, and glory. Because, Father, it's all yours. Father, we thank you for your healing power, for touching each and every one of us, Father, to keep us going. We give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. Because without you, Father, without thy Holy Spirit, we can do nothing within these mortal. Now, Father, I ask you to be with us throughout this service tonight so that the words spoken are your words and not mine. Let me speak as the Holy Spirit gives to me. And we ask all of this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Going to be talking to you tonight from the first chapter of Acts, because you see, what I want to do is start a little series about the church. The church age, the age in which we live, that so many has forgotten about. And I don't want none of mine that hears me to forget these things. Because without them, we will never make heaven our home. And we sure don't want the eternity. I don't know anyone that would want to be in a burning fire, can't die from it, and be there forever. No way out. No way ever of being out of it. Now, Father, as we begin here, we begin with this first verse. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. But you know, we're not told anything about Theophilus. The only thing we can find out at all was that he was probably a Roman official, because Theophilus was actually designating him, kind of, Luke was designating him kind of as somebody special. We don't find him anywhere else, hardly. And we know that this New Testament, which begins actually with the book of Acts, we'll be getting, probably just getting into that part of it down at the end of the service. But in the meantime, we're going to move on to the second verse. Says, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. We know now here in verse 2, Luke is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's been taken up. But we also know, and something we need to never forget, that before he ascended back to be with the Father, to sit on his right hand, he sent the apostles and told them to stay in Jerusalem and sent them to the upper room to wait. And what were they waiting on? They was waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit to be with mankind. Because you see, that is what we really needed, was the Holy Spirit of God to be able to do anything. That's why we are told in the plan of salvation, which we'll be getting into later, to repent, be baptized in Jesus' name, and then we would receive the Holy Spirit. You see, God has told us everything we need, but we take so much out of place, and we're misusing so much of the word in our churches today. And we're letting so many people in to the podiums that should not be there, because they are not called of God to be there, nor are they there with the Holy Spirit. And if they are not called by God, and they are not there with the Holy Spirit, they're not going to be able to teach you the truth and the depth of God's word. Think about it. Now, verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible fruits, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. You see, after he was resurrected, he walked with his disciples, teaching them and getting them ready for what was coming. And that's the reason he sent them to the upper room to wait. And they are waiting merely for one purpose. We know they was there and in prayer. Because the word tells us. Here in verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. What is this promise? The promise is, as Jesus gave it to his disciples, it's meant for you and I today. And he goes on here in 5 and he says, for God truly baptized with water. This is his promise. But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days. You see, this Holy Ghost is coming. And we know that it's going to happen. So we're going to move on now, verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? You see, they're wanting to know a lot of things, just as I'm sure you and I today are asking things of God. But he's gave you and I the answers for about every question we would ask even of him. Now, it doesn't mean he won't answer. But he'll answer with the word that he's given us written. Because you see, if we ask something of him and he answers differently than what's in his word, then no, that's not his voice. And he tells us. He said, my sheep will know my voice. The only way we can know his voice is by knowing that the voice we hear is in tune and in line with the word. Now, they've asked that question. And his answer, and he saith unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. He's put it in his own power. They told him, you're not to know. But you see, we don't know the day, the week, the month, the year of his coming for the church or his coming back for the second time. That's all in his hands. But we have been gave things to watch for, to know when we are moving in to the last of the last days. We just don't know how long those days will be. And he's letting us know that right here. But he goes on here in verse 8, and he says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He's letting them know why he sent them to that upper room, why he's asking them to wait, because they are to receive this. And they are to receive it, and he's letting them know why. And that is to carry his gospel to all the world. Now, he used them to record his word so that you and I could have them today. Well, this word right now, we have ways and means of getting it around the world, actually. Because as I am speaking here now, and as it's going out over the internet, that will go everywhere the internet goes. Think about that. How many can be reached through the power of this online teaching can reach? And how many can be brought to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? We will probably never know. My service is here that I'm teaching right now. May lead someone to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and can lead him to fulfilling what God has asked of him to fulfill, that plan of salvation. But it doesn't mean I may know who it was, because he may find another church closer to him, because he's not going to want to stay out of God's word and away from God's people. You see, this is the way we really know God's people. It's easy to sit back and say and proclaim, I am a child of God. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe he was born to the Virgin Mary, and I believe he died on the cross. I believe he arose. I believe he ascended into heaven. But that doesn't mean you have fulfilled everything, and that you are getting all the help you need. You see what I'm saying? That's why we all need to be in church. I'm not telling you to stay with me. I hope God will keep those here that are receiving something from me. But I do want you to make sure you're going to be attending another church and service just like this one, to where you are getting the truth of the gospel. You know, there is so much going on today and being spread around that this one is a child of God and that one's a child of God. But when you get into the scriptures to really see about it, is that really so? Do you really think about it? Most don't. They say, I take the Bible, they read it like a storybook. They read a while and that's it. Then they forget most even what they read. But, you know, So many. I'm going to give you an example. We've got ladies out there. Claiming to be a river. No, nowhere in the Bible does it tell her she can be one. Claiming to be pastors. Nowhere in the Bible does it claim she can be one. Did you look at 1 Timothy, 2nd chapter, start with verse 9, he says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array. And what these women that you see on television, you'll see them with their necklaces, their dangling earrings, their bracelets. A handful of rings. They've cut their hair short, almost like a man's. He's told them there not to do it. But he goes on here in verse 10. He says, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Now, he has a work for the ladies. He also, in his word, tells them what that is. We're not going to get into it right now. We might get into it sometime later. But he does go on to let us know that what I've just told you before we started this, let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. They're to be in silence. They're not to use authority over man. That word that has been ciphered from the real word and put it into English, suffer. He's talking about to allow or permit. So he said, I do not allow nor permit a woman to teach, nor use authority over a man, but to be in silence. He goes on even to explain why, and if she will do what she should do, what will happen with her, and what will become of her. You see, God doesn't leave us out of anything. Nothing at all. These same women I'm talking about that you see there, all their lipstick and rouge and their eyelashes and eyebrows all painted up. He also goes far enough to tell them not to cut their hair. Because you see, their hair was given for them as a covering. Think about that. That it was given to them as a covering. And yet, there they stand before millions. Where they've cut their hair and cut it as short as a man's. But then too, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we find that God gets even stricter with them. And if you want to look for yourself, start with verse 32. and the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Let your women keep silence in the church, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. Think about it. And they were told to dress as the older women were. We know they wore long gowns. They were not even allowed to let their foot show. They're not running around in a skirt that today we call a miniskirt. That wasn't even high enough. They had to go to a micro mini. In no way they can sit down and cover up. But those that are claiming to be pastors, they put on pants, which the word tells them not to do, but they did. They done their way, told them not to wear men's clothing. But they don't even wear their pants like you and I wear them. They are wearing what they call leggings. They fit so tight that really nothing has changed or been really hid and covered up. It's just changed color. Every man can see the shape. They have to know this. But they also need to be following God's word and doing exactly what he told them to do. And following his word and doing exactly what he wants. Now, there's many, many other things. I'm just using that as one example of the things we're seeing in our church that shouldn't be. Because, you see, one of God's greatest gifts to man is also being misused today. And that is the gift of tongues. You see these preachers on television, their audience, let's stand and pray and get them all standing. Well, now let's everybody pray in our heavenly language, praying in tongues. They want them all standing there praying in tongues. But his word tells us no, not to do that. We're not to not use tongues, but we are to use them according to the word of God. And still in 1 Corinthians 14 chapter, we find out what he says about that. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. You see, tongues should be used, yes, and tongues should be taught. But not if you don't have an interpreter. And then by one at a time, and let that be by three at the most. When we want the Spirit of God in our church, we must stand with His Word. Think about that. With God's Word. Now, come on down here now. Here's verse 11. Now verse 10. No, let's back up one more. Verse 9. Because he had just got through telling them what was going to happen in that upper room. You know, now here 9 says, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of their sight. They saw him ascend. So, they can't deny. They cannot be denied. It was all witnessed. Here's verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. We're talking about two of the angels of Almighty God now. We're standing there with them now. They've come to be with them. Which they was telling them, and they said, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as to have seen him go into heaven. Think about it. Give it a few minutes to just soak that up. He's coming back for his church the same way. Now, the only thing is that when he comes back the second time, he's coming all the way to earth. But you see, when it comes to the church, he's not coming all the way back and touching the earth. He's coming on a cloud, and those that are still here living will meet him in the air, and those that have went on will be resurrected and meet him in the air. They'll meet him first, and then those that are left here will go and meet him. And then we'll go with him and be with him until the end of tribulation, until that battle of Armageddon and tribulation. Then we're going to be coming back with him when he comes the second time to establish his millennial church and his kingdom that will reign here on this earth 1,000 years. You see, this is what we've got to get ready for. Why we really need to know where we are. In the spirit. And where we are in our standing with the Lord our God. Because if we're not standing right, we're not going to make it. We're going to split hell wide open. We don't want that. We might think it don't matter. But once you're there, you'll find out, oh, Lord, I don't want this. But it's too late. There ain't no way out. Verse 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room. And they're obeying what Jesus told them now. Where abode both Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication in that upper room with them, was with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brother. Now, this next verse tells us how many was in that upper room. He says, and in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. So we're not dealing with just 12 anymore being filled with the Holy Spirit. There's 120 there. And 16. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. Think about that. It's been spoke about before. Goes on to tell us, for he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. This Judas they're talking about was the one that betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the one that's in the upper room now. The one that's the brother of James. He's also a half-brother to Jesus. Now, he's talking here in 17 about the one that went and traded Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained part of this ministry. 18. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, falling headlong. He busts under in the midst and all his bowels gushed out. We know that Judas hung himself, because the word tells us so. That explains a little more about it. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as they that feared was called in their proper tongue Al Shalom, that is to say, the field of blood. That field is called the field of blood. And I imagine there in Israel still is to this day. Now, for it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. He's to be replaced. But his place of dwelling is not to be lived in at all. 21. Wherefore these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among them. 22. Beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. They're getting ready now to replace Judas. We're going to be covering that right here. And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knoweth the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas was transgressed with thy transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots. In other words, their way of deciding things. And the lot fell on Matthias. And he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Now, it didn't fall upon Brother Matthew. It's Matthias. I'm going to get ready and stop there because we're coming in now to something that is going to mean a great deal. A great, great deal to all of us. Because you see, we need today in our churches the Holy Spirit of God at work. All of you that's listening to my voice, I want you to pray sincerely, honestly, and mightily for that Holy Spirit to be present with this ministry always and in every service, regardless of who is speaking, that each and every one is walking filled with that Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Join with me as we go now, close the word and go to the Lord in prayer to end our day, to end our service. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as I have closed your word, I thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for your healing power you've given unto man, whereby we are healed by his stripes. Those stripes that Jesus bore is what has gave us our healing, according to your word. Let us stand on that, Father, knowing you never lie. You keep your word. We need to learn how to receive. And for us to receive the power of healing, Father, we must receive it with thanksgiving and with praise. And I do thank you for it, Father. And I give you all of my praise. Now, Father, Kenneth Powers, Dennis Lee, two ministers, Father, that are joined with this ministry, I pray that they are filled to overflowing with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and that they, Father, walk with that power in their lives as they go forth teaching your word and as they will touch those that are in need of healing. Pray for you to be there with them mightily, Father. That Holy Spirit work. Now, Father, James Taylor, Millie and Bobby Johnson, pursuing David Branson, myself, for all of our families, my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, that they can all be helped along the way, that the Holy Spirit can help lead them to a saving knowledge of Jesus, that they all be baptized in Jesus' name, knowing what is happening to them at that time, and to be filled with the Holy Spirit, born again. Because, Father, we know that your word tells us that without being born again, we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. I'm praying that none be lost, Father, of these, that we'll all, to the light, walk in the light of Jesus. Walk in the Spirit as they travel through their journey here on the earth. Always sharing what they have with others. You know, Father, we don't have to be pastors, evangelists, just a born-again child of God. And we are to share your word with all of those that we come in contact with. Help us now, Father. Help us along the way. Keep us now, Father, until Sunday morning. Come Sunday morning, Father, I pray that we have a great service. As I know, Father, that we'll be with you present. And I'm praying that you are always present with all of us in this prayer list. And Father, new name tonight might be his life. Father, help them. Keep them straight. Keep them, Father, with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, keep us through this night. Let us see tomorrow in health, with energy, with strength to do whatever you will call upon us to do. This, Father, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless all, and have a great night. God willing, we can be back together again come Sunday morning at 11 a.m. So until then, walk with God, he'll walk with you. Good night, all.